Imagine your brain is like a high-end smartphone. You
Yep.
know, you've got top-tier hardware, a pristine operating system, plenty of storage.
Right, the works.
Exactly. But then, out of nowhere, the screen just freezes.
Oh, the worst.
Right. Nothing responds, and it's rarely a catastrophic failure of the whole machine. Usually it's just one rogue background app.
Like a nasty email from a client.
Yeah, or an ad campaign that just totally tanked, or even just a sudden, massive spike of imposter syndrome. It just starts eating up all the RAM
And the whole system just locks up.
because of one tiny misbehaving process,
Right.
right? It's just completely hijacked your processing power.
I mean, in that moment, you don't need a comprehensive audit of the device's manufacturing history. You
Right.
don't need to sit down and read the entire user manual. You need an immediate forced reboot to get back to the home screen.
A hard reset. Well, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are opening up a really fascinating internal document.
Yeah, this one is super interesting.
It is. We got our hands on a complete word-for-word product script for a mental regulation framework. It's called the 7-Minute Command Reset.
Created by Al Prax.
Exactly, under Velocity Group Publishing. So the mission for our time today is to really deconstruct exactly how this script works.
Got to figure out how it engineers that psychological pattern interrupt.
Yes, exactly. We want to understand the mechanics of how it takes you from spiraling chaos back to absolute control in exactly 7 minutes.
And we're also going to examine the rather brilliant business architecture operating
Sure.
behind the scenes here.
The funnel on this thing is wild. Okay, so let's unpack this.
So to understand the mechanism of the cure being offered in this document, we kind of have to isolate the specific disease it's targeting.
Right. It's not for everyone.
No, not at all. This framework is not built for someone who's, generally lost in life or looking for a broad sense of purpose.
Like a massive existential crisis.
Right. It's highly targeted toward high performers. We're
Yeah.
talking entrepreneurs, creators, executives.
People who are already doing the thing.
Exactly. Prax outlines that these individuals generally do not lack strategy, and they certainly don't lack motivation.
So what's the issue then?
Their core vulnerability is a sudden, acute loss of control in micromoments.
Ah, okay. The document actually draws a very sharp line between two distinct states of being during these micro
The
crashes.
reactor versus the controller.
Yes. The reactor is essentially the person whose OS has been hijacked by that rogue app. They are entirely pulled by their environment.
Caught in spiral.
Totally. They're just completely fused with whatever urgency or panic just entered their orbit.
And the key word there is fused. I mean, the reactor cannot separate their identity from the crisis.
They just become the problem.
Right. If a deal falls through, they don't just experience a loss of revenue. They internalize the event as a literal threat to their survival.
It's life or death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The controller, on the other hand, operates from emotional neutrality.
Which sounds easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely. But the script explicitly tells the user, you are not the emotion. You are the operator observing the emotion.
Okay, so the controller feels the exact same stress, but they manage it as external data rather than internal identity.
Spot on.
But wait, let's challenge that premise for a second. Let's really look at it.
Sure.
If you're facing a massive, tangible crisis, say a sudden cash flow shortage that could bankrupt your company this week, isn't it incredibly reductive to suggest you can just decide to be the operator?
That's a fair question.
I mean, you can't just observe a financial hemorrhage neutrally. It feels like we're telling someone whose house is on fire to simply sit on the lawn and observe the thermodynamics of the flames.
Yeah, I see the fiction there. But what's really fascinating here is the sequencing of the protocol.
The order of operations.
Exactly. The script does not claim that adopting the operator mindset puts the fire out.
Oh, that is a crucial distinction.
Very crucial. It is strictly about regulating the nervous system first, before you even attempt to pick up the hose.
Because you're panicking.
Right. When that financial crisis hits, your brain's sympathetic nervous system triggers a massive fight or flight response. Cortisol spikes.
And your brain just shuts down the logic centers.
Literally, your prefrontal cortex, the part responsible for logical, strategic thinking, gets downregulated.
So you couldn't make a good financial decision in that state, even if you tried.
Exactly. You're biologically compromised.
So the 7-minute reset is essentially acting as a bridge.
It is the ultimate bridge.
Yeah.
You are migrating from a reactive state where your biology is working against your intellect into a recovery state.
Stabilizing the hardware.
Right. And finally, into a command state where your prefrontal cortex is back online.
Wow. So it's not solving the cash flow problem.
No, it's putting you in the only neurological state where you are actually capable of solving the cash flow problem.
That reframes it perfectly. You can't execute a complex code rewrite while the computer is still frozen.
You have to boot into safe mode first.
You really do. So let's look at how Perhacs actually forces that reboot. The anatomy of this 7-minute audio script is incredibly precise.
It really is. It doesn't waste any time.
No, it dives right in. We've got minutes 1 and 2, which focus entirely on what he calls interrupt and reclaim.
And the method here is breathing, right?
Yeah, but a specific pattern, a yin breath in and a yang breath out. And it's not just basic respiration.
There's visualization attached.
Yes, intense imagery. The script instructs the user to draw power and command in with the yin and actively expel static and doubt with the yang.
Well, the physical mechanics of intentional breathing are super well documented.
It actually changes things biologically.
Oh, absolutely. Deep rhythmic respiration mechanically alters your heart rate variability. It signals the vagus nerve to begin downregulating that sympathetic arousal we just talked about.
So it acts as a manual brake on your nervous system.
Literally pulling the emergency brake on the panic.
I have a theory on why the yin and yang visualization is layered on top of the physical breath, though.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, when you're panicking, your brain wants to hyperfixate on the threat. If I just tell you to breathe, your mind will wander right back to the burning house in like 2 seconds.
That's so true. Am I breathing right? Oh my God, the money.
Exactly. But if I force you to visualize pulling in power and pushing out static, I'm giving your brain a cognitive load.
I see where you're going.
It takes processing power to sustain that visualization, which effectively starves the panic loop of the RAM it needs to keep running. Am I completely off base here?
No, you've hit on the exact psychological mechanism. It's a dual-pronged attack.
Physical and mental.
Right. The physical breath manipulates the vagus nerve while the assigned meaning occupies the cognitive workspace.
That makes so much sense.
This is why the script issues a very blunt warning. It says, "The purpose is not relaxation. The purpose is control recovery."
So it's not a spa treatment.
Far from it. It is an active, somewhat aggressive overriding of a biological hijacking.
Which naturally brings us to the next phase. Because once you've shocked the system out of the initial spiral, the brain is going to try to pull you right back in.
It wants to go back to the familiar panic.
Yeah. So minutes 3 and 4 are dedicated to the name it and identity phase to prevent that relapse.
Right. The user is commanded to explicitly name the interference.
Fear, fatigue, anger, whatever it is. The exact phrase used is naming is a command move. It creates distance.
And that distance is entirely neurological. The moment you articulate a feeling, saying out loud or mentally acknowledging, "I am experiencing the physiological sensation of fear," you disrupt the real-time cortisol loop.
Just by naming it.
Just by naming it. You take an abstract, overwhelming terror and confine it into a linguistic box.
You shift from being the subject of the emotion to the observer of a biological process.
Do not become it, as the script warns.
That's powerful. Okay, so we've paused the panic and we've labeled the emotion. Now we hit minute 5.
The pivot point.
Yes. The framework introduces the MVP scan. And MVP stands for Mindset, Vitality, and Prosperity. Perhacs refers to these as the three tectonic shifts.
This is where the user transitions from defense to offense.
Okay, how so?
You are asked to locate the active control point of your disruption. Basically, why is your OS crashing?
So you have to pick one of the three buckets.
Exactly. Is it a mindset issue, meaning internal beliefs, self-talk, or identity friction?
Like imposter syndrome.
Right. Or is it a vitality issue, meaning your physical hardware, your energy levels, sleep deprivation?
You're just exhausted.
Yeah. Or thirdly, is it a prosperity issue, an external network problem dealing with income, a lost client, a broken business system?
The timing of this scan at minute 5 seems very deliberate to me.
How do you mean?
Well, if you tried to do this at minute 1, the user would just say, "Everything is broken. My life is a disaster."
Oh, 100%. It's all just one big blur of panic.
Right. Existential dread is paralyzing because the brain perceives a massive threat but can't locate the predator.
It's everywhere and nowhere.
But by forcing the user to categorize the panic into one of three specific buckets, you take an infinite nebulous terror and shrink it into a localized error code.
You aren't feeling an existence.
No, You just have an active vitality issue because you haven't slept in 48 hours, or an active prosperity issue because a supplier missed a deadline.
It creates a manageable target.
Mm-hmm.
And containment is the absolute prerequisite for execution.
You have to box it in.
Once you have isolated the error code, you're no longer fighting ghosts. You're dealing with a mechanical failure in one specific sector of your life.
Which takes us to the climax of the protocol. Minutes 6 and 7.
Time to reboot.
Exactly. We've booted into safe mode. We've identified the corrupted file, but we can't stay in safe mode forever. How do we reboot into full function and actually get back to work?
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The script introduces the concept of the next clean move, or the power move.
This is the linchpin of the entire philosophy, honestly.
It demands action.
Yes. The script demands that you ask yourself one question. What is the next clean move?
Not the ultimate solution.
No. Not the grand overarching strategy that will guarantee $1 million in revenue next year. Just the next immediate friction-free action you can execute within the next 60 seconds.
It's the equivalent of force quitting the app. You don't rewrite the entire software architecture. You just close the frozen window so the computer can process commands again.
The script suggests really simple things. Sending a single email. Drinking a glass of water. Walking for 10 minutes.
Or literally just closing out of your browser tabs.
Yes. And Brahanks provides a core distinction here that explains why this works so effectively.
What's the distinction?
Command returns through action, not through thinking about action.
Wow. That flips the usual script.
Totally. We have a cultural misconception that state drives behavior. We think we need to feel motivated to act or feel calm to make a decision.
I'll do it when I feel ready.
Exactly. But this framework operates on the neurobiological reality that behavior drives state. Action breaks the paralysis.
So you act your way into the feeling.
Yes. Controllers do not sit on a meditation cushion waiting for enlightenment to strike before they reply to an urgent email.
They just reply.
They lock onto the next clean move. They launch. And they allow the momentum of that action to restore their command state.
That makes the 60-second rule so potent. When the audio finishes, you are invited to, like, ponder your life choices. You are commanded to stand up and execute that single move immediately.
There's no time to second guess.
So that covers the general 7-minute baseline reset. But what happens when the error isn't just a rogue background app, but a massive system failure?
A real crisis.
Yeah. What if the crisis is a crushing personal rejection or a massive unexpected tax bill?
The source document actually includes scripts for a command reset expansion pack.
Which is designed for situational emergencies.
Exactly. The expansion pack is essentially a series of patches for the core operating system.
So it's the same base code, just tweaked.
Right. It provides highly specific reframing tools for acute crises without forcing the user to learn a totally different methodology. The baseline protocol remains, but the lens shifts.
Okay, let's look at the confidence crash script. This is built for the exact moment after a brutal rejection.
Or a public failure. Or when you're just drowning in comparison to your competitors.
The philosophy embedded in this specific script actually challenges everything the self-help industry preaches.
It really does. The standout quote here is, "Confidence is an outcome, not a prerequisite."
I love that. Think about how often people delay a launch or avoid a sales call or back down from a negotiation because they tell themselves, "I just don't feel confident enough yet."
They treat confidence as a toll they have to pay before they can access the highway of action.
And this script completely annihilates that excuse. It tells you that sitting around waiting for a magical feeling of confidence to wash over you is pure reactor behavior.
You execute from command despite the fear.
Yes. And the confidence is the byproduct of having taken the action. The action manufactures the confidence.
Precisely. Another really highly charged situational script is the one for money pressure.
Oh, that's a big one. Anyone who has managed payroll, bootstrapped a startup, or even just navigated personal debt understands how uniquely suffocating financial anxiety can be.
It triggers our absolute deepest survival instincts.
But the script uses a brilliant reframe here. It tells the user, financial pressure is a signal, not a sentence.
That shift from sentence to signal is profound.
It really is. A sentence implies judgment, finality, victimhood. It suggests the universe has declared you a failure.
A signal, however, is just a dashboard light blinking.
Just a check engine light.
Exactly. It strips all the shame and emotion away from the math. It simply alerts you that the engine needs oil.
So in this context, it's a signal that you need to make an immediate revenue move. You don't need to sit there and mourn your bank account.
No, you need to follow up on 3 warm leads.
Right. And I also found the approach to the anger and frustration reset incredibly pragmatic.
How so?
Well, usually when someone is furious, the default advice is calm down, which historically has only ever resulted in making an angry person significantly more furious.
Never tell an angry person to calm down.
Exactly. But this protocol doesn't tell you to suppress it or breeze it away.
It treats anger as a raw physiological resource.
Just fuel.
Yeah, anger is simply a high energy state.
Right.
Your heart rate is up, adrenaline is flowing.
The script advises, this energy is not here to destroy your control. It is here to be redirected.
You don't want to extinguish that fire. You want to pipe that intense heat directly into the engine and use it to execute a power move.
It takes the emotional friction and turns it into highly efficient fuel.
Which ties perfectly into the vitality and energy drain reset, by the way.
Ah, circling back to the MVP scan.
Right. High performers have this incredibly toxic tendency to glorify burning the midnight oil.
Operating on 3 hours of sleep.
Treating their bodies like rental cars.
The script recategorizes that mindset, though. It frames ignoring your biological limits not as a badge of toughness, but as objectively bad management.
Your physical body is not merely a vessel carrying your brain around.
It is your operating system's hardware.
Exactly. If your energy drains, your cognitive clarity drains, and you inevitably regress into a reactor.
Therefore, if you pull the vitality card during your MVP scan, the power move is not to drink another espresso and push harder.
The power move might literally be taking a 20-minute nap.
Or stepping away from all screens for an hour. Hardware maintenance is a command decision.
It's essential.
Think about your own digital life right now. Think about the last time you were staring at a screen with 30 different browser tabs open, metaphorically juggling a dozen competing demands in your head.
We've all been there.
Did you try to process all 30 tabs simultaneously, or did you isolate the single most important window and close the rest?
Because trying to solve everything at once is the ultimate reactor trap.
Yes. The emergency script for overwhelm makes it a mandate. You do not need to solve everything. You need to command the next move.
It is a demand for radical simplification. You cannot process 30 tabs at once, computationally or cognitively.
So, having mapped the micro-tactics of the daily reset and these situational emergency patches, we need to zoom out a bit.
Look at the big picture.
We need to look at the ultimate trajectory of this source material. Because while this is undeniably a sharp psychological toolkit, this document is also a commercial product script.
It is. It's engineered as a stepping stone to a permanent identity shift. And simultaneously, it is a masterfully constructed business funnel.
The architecture here is incredibly sophisticated on both the psychological and commercial fronts.
The transition from using this as a one-off emergency parachute to installing it as a permanent operating system is mapped out in what they call the 7-day command installation sprint.
So they don't just hand you the 7-minute audio file and leave you to figure it out.
No, the sprint requires users to actively track their daily command score on a scale from 1 to 10.
They have to formally log which tectonic shift was active mindset, vitality, or prosperity.
And document the exact power move they executed. Day 1 is just running the baseline audio. Day 2 is preemptively using it before starting the workday.
Building the habit.
Day 3 is deploying it during an active, real-time stressor. It systematically weaves the behavior into their daily neural pathways.
And running parallel to that habit building is a deep psychological anchor called the future self command prompt.
This is an extended visualization exercise.
The user is instructed to vividly imagine the version of themselves 90 days in the future, who has already successfully integrated this system.
And the questions it poses to that future self are incredibly revealing. Things like, what did you have to aggressively stop doing to get here?
And what did you have to start doing consistently?
But the real psychological hook is in the closing instruction of that visualization.
This part blew my mind.
Right. The user is not told to use that future self as a distant goal to chase, because chasing implies lack.
They are told to extract the identity of that future self and inhabit it immediately.
You don't wait 90 days to become the controller.
You download the update right now.
And if we connect this to the broader commercial architecture, this identity shift perfectly lubricates the business funnel.
Let's dissect that funnel because the pricing strategy tells a really fascinating story.
Okay, let's break it down.
The core 7-minute command reset is positioned as a front-end product, typically priced between $7 and $27.
In the direct response marketing world, A low-ticket offer like this is designed purely for buyer acquisition. Get them in the door.
But Perhaxis is doing something deeper here. He is targeting acute pain.
If a user is spiraling in anxiety, they are looking for an immediate lifeline.
They spend $7, they spend 7 minutes, and if they actually feel a tangible shift in their nervous system, if their vagus nerve really does downregulate and they regain clarity, an unbreakable bond of trust is instantly forged.
The product validates itself on the customer's own biology.
You can't argue with your own lowered heart rate.
Exactly. You've proven the efficacy of your methodology.
From there, the funnel naturally presents the expansion pack, the situational patches we discussed, for a slight bump, maybe $27 or $37.
But those are just stepping stones.
What's the true destination?
The true destination of this architecture is bridging the user into the back-end high-ticket product, the C3 Command and Control Core System.
The internal logic laid out in the document is airtight. The pitch is essentially the 7-minute reset is the emergency protocol that pulls you out of the chaos.
But C3 is the permanent operating system that ensures you never fall back in.
And the pricing scales dramatically to reflect that permanence. The C3 system utilizes what they call MCH tiers.
MCH2 is a self-guided system sitting around $497.
MCH3 integrates group coaching, pushing it close to $2,000.
And MCH4 is the elite one-on-one coaching tier starting at $4,997.
It is a textbook masterclass in product ascension and buyer psychology.
You simply cannot sell a $5,000 architectural blueprint for a new house to a man whose current house is actively burning down.
He doesn't care about blueprints.
He wants a fire extinguisher. So you sell him the $7 fire extinguisher.
And once the flames are out and he is standing safely on the lawn entirely because of the tool you provided, he is now a highly qualified, deeply trusting candidate to buy the $5,000 blueprint to build a fireproof home.
The funnel effectively segments out the individuals who are serious about execution from those who just want to complain about the fire.
So bringing this all together, what does this ultimately mean?
Well, when we look at this comprehensive script, you can view it as a highly potent neurobiological hack.
Or you can view it as a brilliantly structured customer acquisition funnel.
But either way, the underlying mechanics are undeniable.
Because those mechanics are rooted in the fundamental realities of human biology and behavioral psychology.
It all comes down to recognizing the exact millisecond your system starts to crash and your RAM gets hijacked.
It's about leveraging intentional respiration, the yin and yang, not to relax, but to actively force a neurological override and starve the panic loop.
It's about running that MVP scan to locate the exact tectonic shift that's causing the error.
Whether your mindset software is glitching, your vitality hardware is failing, or your prosperity network is down, so you can shrink the monster into a manageable error code.
And ultimately, it's about the absolute refusal to wait for motivation, choosing instead to execute the very next clean move, knowing that state follows action.
It is a rigorous framework, and it leaves us with a critical, much larger question to consider.
Yeah, we've talked entirely about how to fix the individual OS when it crashes.
But look around. Our modern digital society, the algorithms, the 247 news cycles, the endless push notifications, is fundamentally engineered to hijack your attention.
And keep your nervous system in a perpetual state of sympathetic arousal.
The world is designed, on purpose, to turn you into a reactor.
If the entire environment profits off your panic, is adopting the identity of a controller actually just a productivity hack? Or is mastering your own nervous system the ultimate act of modern rebellion?
Think about that rogue app running in the background right now. You don't need to rebuild the entire machine today.
You just need to force quit the app, isolate the error, and execute your next power move.
If confidence is truly an outcome and not a prerequisite, what is the one next clean move you've been putting off because you mistakenly thought you needed to feel ready first?
Your next power move is waiting.
We hope this deep dive gave you the clarity to find that next clean move. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.